Hey everybody, Frank here, and welcome back to 15 Minutes with Frank. If you haven't done so, please like, subscribe, share, do all that stuff for me because it would really, really help me. I would love to get this podcast and these videos to as many people as possible to help all the youth pastors and all the youth ministries everywhere to be able to hear this stuff, to collaborate, to share ideas, and overall just make youth ministry better. So if you can, subscribe, share this with a friend, let them know about it. It's going to be a good time. With that being said, we had our last service of 2016, and it was killer. Let's get into it. So what we did is when kids came in, I first went to the grocery store and bought like 120 or so pre-made Christmas tree sugar cookies. And so when they came in, I also had some icing, some sprinkles, all this kind of stuff. And kids, after they checked in, were able to kind of decorate their cookies and kind of make them all pretty and then take a picture of them and then eat them. And so it was a huge hit. I try to contain the mess as much as possible. So I kind of set out some tables so that way they decorate on the table and not like randomly around throughout the youth room. And the mess kind of contained fairly well. After that, kids came to the front and we showed a funny video where Justin Knowles did this kind of thing with her name is Emma, one of his staff people, where they basically did Christmas Mad Libs and then like had water in their mouth and tried to hold it in their mouth while the other person's reading the Mad Lib they just wrote out without trying to spill the water. It wasn't the greatest video we've done, but the kids were laughing. There was a poop reference, and whenever there's poop reference in the video, it's an easy laugh that makes all the kids just crack up. So after that, we had our Fuse host come up and kind of like welcome everybody and do the announcements. And then after that, we transitioned to the games. The first game we did was called Perplexing Proverbs. And it's a game on the DYM store. It's like $3 or $5 or something like that. And it's a game that's really simple. Basically, they took Christmas song titles. Yeah, I think it was the Christmas song titles. And like translate them to like very complicated proverbs. So you know what I'm saying? Like really big words, complexing things. And so like it would be like, oh, holy night. And it would be like, hark, sacred evening or something like that. And the kids had to guess what was the Christmas song that was so elaborately worded, like the amplified version of the Bible type of thing. And they loved it. The thing is, the person that won was an English teacher. So, of course, she would win it. But other than that, it was a huge, huge hit. The kids loved that game. If you're having your services on Wednesday before Christmas or sometime before Christmas, you can still get it. It's still in the DYM store. But if not, lock that in for next year. Maybe it'll be on sale next year. It was a fun game. The next game we played after that was called, it's called Christmas House. There's tons of variations. You've probably have either heard about this game or maybe have played it in some kind of capacity. There's these cards, there's like paper plates you put on your head, and then there's someone telling you to draw these things, and you have to draw on the paper plate all the different kind of like Christmassy stuff. Like you have to draw a chimney, you have to draw the stockings on the chimney, you have to draw a Christmas tree, you have to draw three presents with a bow on top of them, you have to draw ornaments, you do all these different things, and then they draw on their head, and then after that they take it off, and then they get a point for how exact that drawing was on there. So like if the stocking is actually touching the mantle, then you get a point. If the fire is in the fireplace, you get a point. You know what I'm saying? Like those type of things. And it was super fun, and the kids love it. We did it last year. We did it again this year, and it was great. So I'm sure you can find it. It's like called Christmas House. If you Google Christmas paper plate game, I'm sure you can find it. Huge hit. And I don't think this is you have to make it just a Christmas thing. You can do it like in summer. You can do it in spring. You can do it whenever you want. Just tell them to draw stuff on their head and then give points for how accurate the drawing is. It's super fun. Then we had worship, and we had three different songs. We had Joy to the World, Good, Good Father, and Oh Come All Ye Faithful. And it was a great time of worship. We had a student up there singing that was new. Now she wasn't new, but she was new to the team singing, and it was a really, really good time having to see her up there, and just the band really killed it. Christmas songs, Christmas lights. It was just a really, really nice time. Then I came up, and I did my message, and my message was about the three wise men going to see Jesus and how like Herod was plotting to kill them, and I opened my message up with an illustration of Legos and how I wanted Legos and like when I got the box of Legos, I would look at the cover of the box, see the picture. I really, really wanted to do that set, and I didn't. So like I was really pumped to take the Legos out and do it. And when I took all the Legos out, they were in like hundreds and hundreds of pieces. And then, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't read the instructions, so I just start trying to put it together. I would carefully look at the box and try to put the pieces together. But eventually, I would get very frustrated because the pieces, no matter how much I try, there were so many of them, I would get overwhelmed. And trying to put them onto the box the way it was supposed to would be, putting on the pieces together would be overwhelming. And I focused too much on the individual pieces that I missed the big picture and I missed what I was supposed to do. I translate that to say, like, God gives us, sometimes in life we have all these different elements and pieces in our life that can be so overwhelming. If we look at the piece of, you know, your family life, school, your relationships, and you look at all these different pieces, it's easy to get overwhelmed. And if you look at all those pieces and look at all of them together, yes, you're going to be overwhelmed. And yes, you are not able to put all the pieces together. But it's not until you realize that all the brokenness in your life is there for you to go to Jesus, lay down all the pieces at his feet, and submit to him. And I translate that in saying that when we look at our life, it's so broken that in that brokenness, like in the midst of our brokenness, that we are broken in our lives, Christ came and was born into this world to be broken for us so that we can be made whole. And it's until we accept that Jesus literally broke his life for us. He laid down his life for us so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be made whole. It won't be till then that we won't stop being overwhelmed with these individual pieces. I translate to the story of the three wise men in the sense that, like, at this point in the story, man, like, how much stuff has Mary been through? Like, she's about to marry a guy she barely knows. She has to go hundreds of miles away from her home to Bethlehem. There's no room for her in the inn. She has to give birth in a stable. All this stuff is happening. Like, if she looks at all those individual pieces, she can be overwhelmed. Not to mention the fact that a king sent these wise men to go find Jesus, ultimately to murder her son. I mean, I don't think she was even fully aware of that till later. Like, if she looked at all those pieces at this point, it's like, oh my goodness, like, what's the point of even trying? This is so overwhelming. But she trusted God. Like, in the midst of all that, God protected her. God gave a dream to the wise men. God gave a dream to Joseph to go to Egypt. All the time, she was trusting God. And so ultimately, as we look at all the pieces of our life that can get us overwhelmed, when we look back at God and say, I have to submit this to his will, at that point, that we can trust in him, that all these pieces will work together. We transition that from talking about how our lives can be broken and how it can be overwhelming to talking about communion and how God sent Jesus for his life to be broken for us so that we can be made whole. And so we broke the bread and we did intinction. You know, you get the bread, you rip it out, and you dip it in the cup. And we did that kind of communion. And it was just like the first time we ever did communion in our youth room. And it was a big deal. It was a really, really good time. And it was really, really encouraging. I think our kids enjoyed it. And then I know they went to a small group afterwards, and they were telling a small group leader that illustration, the Legos, really, really helped them because they all have these different pieces in their life that can be very, very overwhelming and stressful. And it's not until they submit it to Jesus that they're still going to be stressed. And until that point, they're going to continue to be stressed until they turn to Christ. One thing I did this past weekend, this past Friday, is I had I'm going to look this up on my phone so I don't miss anything. I had a Christmas party at our church. We had a leader Christmas party. So I wanted to celebrate my leaders. And so what I want to tell you real quick is kind of what I did in my Christmas party, what I did with my leaders. So that way, if you haven't done a leader Christmas party or you haven't done like a leader appreciation type of thing, you can get some ideas from me. Maybe next Christmas you can do some of this stuff. I would love to share any ideas I have. A lot of these ideas I had, I stole from other people. And I love appreciating my leaders. I think if you have leaders who feel appreciated, they're going to be better leaders in your student ministry. And so I did a night where we just kind of celebrated them. I didn't make them do any work. I prepped the whole thing, and it was great. So from like 6:30 to 8:30, leaders came in. They were able to have, there was a hot chocolate bar, a coffee bar, and then like soda and water and stuff like that. And then we had food catered from this like local Mexican restaurant that's pretty good. And then I made some like special brownies, like not like illegal special brownies, but like just really, really scrumptious, delicious brownies that I have a little secret recipe for. And so they were able to eat that and enjoy each other. And like, we don't really sit down as just like friends be able to just sit down and hang out with each other. So it was a good time for them to just be able to sit there and enjoy each other. And at some point, I stopped everything. I said, okay, let's do some things. Let's do some games, and then we'll get going to the rest of the part of the night. I called the five leaders who this was their first Christmas party for them. You know, this was the first time that they hadn't been here for a year. All the other leaders had been there for over a year. This is their first year there. And so I called them to the front, and we played that Mad Lib game. And so basically we told them to tell us the different words for Mad Libs, and then we gave them water, and they had to hold it in their mouth while we, as a group, were reading the Mad Lib to them. And so that pressure would cause them to, like, spit out the water. It was really bad for some of them. One guy, like, he just spilled water all over the floor. It was really, really bad. But it was hilarious. It was such a funny, funny time. So we did that with two girls and three guys. It was a great time. And then we played this game where there was a $50 gift card for Target on the line. And so what I did is before, like about a week earlier, I said, everyone give me three unique facts about themselves. So I want three unique facts that no one would probably know. And then in those three facts, I would choose one fact that I think would be a good fact. So I always ask for three unique facts, even though I only use one of them, because sometimes they don't give you good facts. Like, out of three facts, you could probably find one good one. And so out of those three facts, I had each of them, I chose one good fact, and so on one column I had all their facts, and the other column I had their names in alphabetical order, and what they had to do was guess what fact belonged to which person. They had to put, you know, all these different things, and so they did that, and then I also added, like, five other facts in the bottom that were multiple choice for, like, tiebreakers just in case, but we never got to the tiebreaker. And it was a really, I mean, just really obscure interesting facts. Like, one girl said she went to, when high school, she climbed the Great Wall of China. One guy said that he pooped his pants his senior year of high school in front of his friends. Like, all these different, like, really obscure, silly facts. And then they had to guess who said who did what, or whose fact applies to who. And then so, then after everyone has done it, they pass the paper to the right, and then I start reading the questions out loud. And I said the person whose that fact belonged to raise their hand. And so we did that. And it was a really fun way for everyone to get to know each other, to kind of, like, laugh and kind of, you know, learn facts about each other that are either unique or really funny or really silly. It was just a really good time of bonding in that capacity. And then this girl won, and she won a $50 gift card to Target. I mean, if you can't afford a $50 gift card to Target, give them, like, a free meal, or, like, maybe a free night off of youth group. I don't know. Maybe that's a weird prize. But, like, find a way where, like it's worth it for them to actually try, so they can be invested in the game, so they're actually paying attention to all the different facts, so they can actually get to know each other. So I did feel like gift card to Target. You might find a better prize in your context. After that, I did these really, really silly superlatives. So if you ever watched The Office, there's, like, the Dundee Awards. Kind of like that, except for our things, we just call it a few superlatives. And so what I went to Party City, like a little party store, and they had these, like, little cheap, made in China, gold plastic trophies. And then I went back to the office, and I went on, like, our Avery label maker, and I printed this thing. Once the top part will say fused superlatives, and then the bottom would say, like, the superlative they belong to. So mine are very, I guess condescending might be the right word, like, very sarcastic and silly. Like, one was, like, most likely to be asked out by a student, right? Because, like, well, I have a couple leaders who are, like, 22, 23, and they look like they're 16. And, like, students, like, flirt with them all the time. So it's, like, you're most likely to be asked out by a student, which would make it really awkward, but it's really, really funny. I have one that's, like, most likely to cuss in front of a student. Like, I don't think she's ever cussed in front of a student, but, like, she, like, if there's one person that's likely to make a mistake and cuss in front of a student, it would be this leader. I had one that's, like, most likely to cause a student to cry after playing a game. Most likely to, I wrote, most improved at being on time to leader meetings. Like, you know, this is very silly things. And then at the end, I did, like, a very sincere award, which was the Fuse 2016 Leader of the Year. And that award went to someone who, like, you know, really just went above and beyond everybody else. Like, obviously, you'd love to give this award to every one of your leaders, but if there was one leader specifically that really did a lot that year, like, I give that award to them. You know, the leader we gave it to, she's a high school leader, but for summer camp, she worked with the middle schoolers because we were low on leaders. She's just quick to just, like, really serve in whatever capacity she's needed to serve in. And it just, so she won it. I think if I were to do it over again, I would add maybe, like, a gift card on top of that. So that way, she's just not getting, like, a little plastic trophy, but also something that's a little bit more meaningful than that. But it was a lot of fun giving out the superlatives. There was a lot of laughter in that. I think next year I'm going to bring in students to help me pick these events. So maybe it wouldn't be, like, the cussing one, but maybe just other kind of quirky things that the students have noticed. So that way it's more from a team voting thing as opposed to, like, just me making stuff up. And I wrapped it up with me just thanking them, and I shared with you guys, I think some of you guys, if you're in the youth men group or the DYM group or whatever, I shared in there a a picture of the gift I gave him. It was like this, like very thin kind of hoodie that had like the Fuse logo on the chest here on the side. And on the back and the tag, I made a custom tag where it has their size and all like, you know, the washing instructions. But in the bottom, it had this thing where it's like me just like thanking them, saying, thank you so much for your service. It really means a lot to us. Your service is not going unnoticed. What you're doing is investing in the kingdom. Investing in the lives of these kids for the kingdom. And so it was a really kind of cool gift. Wasn't terribly expensive. It was part of a larger order, so it was a lot cheaper than it could have been if it was just those hoodies. But I love giving hoodies and stuff to our leaders because they like to wear them. And when they wear them, they're representing the ministry, and it's always good to have free advertising, even though it kind of costs something. But they're going to wear it way past the value of me buying that hoodie, if that made any sense whatsoever. Anyways, what did you do this year to appreciate your leaders? I would love to hear. Put in the comments below on YouTube or in the blog. I would love to know, how did you appreciate your leaders for Christmas? If it was just a simple Christmas letter, maybe you give out some gift cards. I would love to know what you do, so that way I know what to do next year for my leaders. Anyways, God bless you guys. Hopefully I'll see you next week. Have a great Christmas. Bye.